Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 304, recorded on August 20th, 2016. Enjoy! All right, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I am Michael Johnston, and with me is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer. Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. How about you?
I'm good. And also with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing good.
Sweet.
Missed you guys.
Yeah, we're back again after, I guess we're just on the summer schedule, right? Every other week. That's fine.
Jeff was off playing with some bricks or something like that.
Yeah, it was Jeff's fault.
It's totally my fault. I went to Brickfest in Denver and checked out all the Lego creations.
And then Michael was like Batman in the Lego movie in Cloud Cuckoo Land.
Does Batman not like Legos?
No, he doesn't like Cloud Cuckoo Land.
He doesn't like Cloud Cuckoo Land at all.
I'm fine with Legos. I didn't see the movie. I know people have told me that I need to see it because it's actually good.
Oh, it's a wonderful
But there are
fun.
So many, you know what I've learned about myself in my later years?
In your later years, yes.
Is that when I see a trailer and I go, that looks dumb, and then I see the ratings for the movie and everybody's like, oh man, this movie's like the best movie since ever, I'm still not going to like it because I know, I'm like, this is just not the movie for me. Such as, what was the one with Groot.
Oh, yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy. Awesome.
Yeah, I hated that. It was dumb.
Oh, I loved that movie.
See? And I saw the trailer and I said, I don't care about that. And then everybody said it was awesome and I saw it. And then I said, I shouldn't have watched that. But that's
fine. Is awesome, you turd blossom.
Thank you.
So you like American Ultra, which I just watched on Amazon?
Is that good? It looked interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
It's all right.
It's all right. Yeah, I saw it on, because Hulu had...
I kind of like Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart, so I'm cool with that.
Okay. Well, I actually just realized that Hulu had a free tier. That was one of the things that I decided to not talk about, but we're talking about now. So they had an ad-supported tier that they recently just got rid of and moved it over to Yahoo. What is it called? Yahoo...
I have no idea.
Yahoo Blows.
Screens.
Yahoo View. That's what it's called. It's called Yahoo View. And so they do have that movie on it. That's how I saw it.
It's on Amazon Prime. That's how I saw it.
Oh, yeah. Correction. I saw it on Amazon Prime. That's where I saw it. But I was looking at Yahoo View. And what I realized is the purpose of that is to just supply all of those TV shows that you mindlessly watch but would really never watch intentionally,
mm-hmm.
which
I like. That's pretty much Netflix, too.
No?
Yeah.
Really?
How about Netflix original series? They don't qualify for...
No, they don't qualify.
That. Fair enough.
No.
But all right.
Anything that comes off of a network... Not it's you get they get the dredges of everything. Mm-hmm. Same with movies for the most part. It's getting bad out there, people.
Yeah.
Cord cutters, I think.
It's making me sad.
So iPhone 7. The iPhone 7 and 7 Plus to feature pressure sensitive home button, as we have mentioned many times, but this is coming in via Bloomberg, and they have that fancy name that makes us think they know what they're talking about. the interesting thing is I see it reported by these third hand places that say, oh, you know, so and so says this about the iPhone. Every time I see this rumor reported by the third hand people, they say flush home button. But if you go to the source, nobody ever says flush home button.
No, they don't, because it's not going to be a flush home button.
Right, it's still going to be indented. It's just like the MacBook Pro, right? So the MacBook Pro,
yes.
The distinguishing between the two lines where you have the physical button and the invisible fake button, it looks the same.
Right. It looks the same and it feels almost exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just one doesn't have a moving part in it. The other one does.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that's probably what they're going to be doing. I'm pretty sure they still have to have the Touch ID ring.
Yep.
So we should still be able to, we won't have those Apple TV remote issues where we can't figure out which way is up.
It just won't have a seam,
and that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's good, right? For additional water resistance.
Yeah. So there have been some part leaks for the iPhone 7. We saw a bare logic board surface for that. We've seen.
Is this the one where they had it inserted like upside down with the front plate?
No, that was the, I think that was the screen. Was it, yeah, front
oh,
plate,
that's right. That was the screen assembly.
I didn't really understand that. So someone put it together the wrong way.
They were just holding, they were holding the display assembly up against a front plate. And it wasn't even clear if the front plate was an iPhone 7 front plate. It could have been, you know, it could have been a one from a 6S because they're the same size. And people were freaking out because it didn't show the home button cutout. In the glass panel, the front glass panel. But the reason was they had the assembly upside down. And a lot of people were like, hey, look, the connector's on the top instead, or on the bottom instead of the top or whatever. But again, the whole thing was upside down.
I think the rumor mill is like imploding on itself.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So I think they were just, you know, they were showing that, hey, look, this display assembly fits the front glass, but whoever had put it together, I think, was just literally just accidentally held it upside down when he took the pictures.
Yeah.
Because then people noticed that the home button cutout was near the top of the display or the display assembly. And it was like, oh, okay.
Yep. We're also seeing photos of Apple's A10 chip. And I think it's just going to be TSMC, right? We're not going to see any Samsung
correct
created A10s, yes. Which I guess the only thing to say about that is, you know, last year when Samsung produced the A9, they were very ever so slightly slower and ate up a little bit more battery life. And so if you remember
that, for real world use, it didn't matter.
Right. It was one of those things that people got upset about because they need something to be upset about. So we won't be seeing that this
time. Are we going to talk about Intel making A11s?
I wasn't planning to. What's going on with that?
So one of the big news is a big piece of news this week, and that's totally fake. I'm making that up to a certain degree, but Intel got licensing to produce ARM processors.
Oh, right, yeah.
And so, you know, Apple has not wanted Samsung, I don't think, as a chip supplier for a long, long time. Intel's mobile processing division has been struggling, so this seems like a match made in heaven. In my mind, I think a big reason why Intel got that license is because they're planning on trying to woo Apple's business. And isn't there another chip in the iPhone 7 that, like, isn't it being said that Intel's going to do the
motion coprocessor?
No, the cellular data chip, right?
Oh, the modem?
Apple dumped Qualcomm.
The cellular modem?
Yeah. Isn't that also an Intel chip?
I believe that is what's going on for this phone is that Intel is producing that chip this round.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so, you know, Intel is heavily, I think, going after Apple's business. And so I just feel like that's kind of a move in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the Intel LTE chips. So anyway, I just noticed that wasn't in here. And that's the more interesting chip news this week than the A10 leak, in my opinion.
Yeah. Let's see, this rumor about the iPhone 7's second grill cutout, according to NWE, they've got some...
Oh, the cosmetic one. Are we skipping over the camera module?
We'll get there.
Okay.
But I guess the speaker grill, the second speaker grill, is purely cosmetic. So all but one of the dots is going to be covered. or it just doesn't go through, and the last dot is going to be for the microphone, which is kind of upsetting.
Do we really need to have stereo speakers on a device?
I'm not saying that we have to. I don't really care about that part. But what I care about is the fake out. I don't like the fake out. It's very, I don't know. It's dishonest design.
I don't know about that.
No, I mean, that's it's a very Apple thing to do, right?
No, I don't think so.
It's just,
when have they put vestigial, first of all, they have not given a shit about symmetry lately. And it's just a vestigial part.
Is it vestigial if it never served a purpose and is new?
That's, yeah, we may need to go to a different word to describe that.
Did the original iPhone have stereo speakers?
No.
No iPhone has had stereo speakers.
Well, the original iPhone had symmetrical holes on both sides of the connector.
Hmm.
No kidding. I totally forgot.
Looking at it right now, it was sitting on my desk and I picked it up.
Oh, nice.
You would know then.
And are the holes covered up?
I can't tell.
Get a light.
It looks like it because on one side it looks like the holes are all full of like lint, and the other side they're not. So I'm assuming that's from being put in my pocket many times, and then the fact that on the right side they probably go in deeper than on the left side.
Huh. Interesting. Oh yeah, because that speaker grill is really, really very tiny.
One is the microphone, right? One is just like that. One is the microphone side, and one is then. I'm sure there's not as many holes needed for the microphone.
Okay,
but it's perfectly symmetrical.
All right. Well, I do like symmetry.
Yeah, so. And the difference is with the current version, you know, there was a headphone jack in the way.
True.
I think it would have been symmetrical if the headphone jack wasn't there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, maybe I'll like it.
So I don't put this past Apple. You're not going to care.
No, I'm not going to care.
How often do you look at the bottom of your phone?
All the time. It's like especially the only thing that's exposed.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to look at it more because every time you plug in headphones, I guess you still have to do that now.
I'm going to go to plug in my headphones and then realize that there's no hole for it.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen.
iPhone 7 could launch on September 23rd, according to some documents obtained by 9to5Mac from AT&T. Looks like they're going to be doing some setup on September 9th, which is when we're expecting the announcement. And then another setup situation on the 23rd of September. So there's that. I feel like it's been a while since we've seen rumors from AT&T documents.
They would be doing setup for pre-orders? You mean just like putting signage?
Probably signage. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And
who goes into an AT&T store to pre-order their phone?
Every time.
You do? Crazy,
me, man. Me and all the old people.
You actually go into an AT&T store?
Hell no. First of all, I'm never going into an AT&T store again. Ever, ever. Oh my goodness, the last time I was there. I feel like it was captured in one of the podcasts, but I spent hours there. I think we were just trying to buy an iPhone 5C.
Right. Or try to even just buy an accessory and they make you like wait for a consultant.
They put you in a corral and then at some point you get real cranky because, you know, you got there at 10 in the morning and now it's 1 and your blood sugar's just plummeted. And then they give you some like crappy crackers and say, it's just going to be a little bit longer. And then you're like looking for something to stab them with.
Wow.
And that's when you realize you really do want a thinner iPhone so it can have a sharper edge.
You do want a stylus.
Yeah.
Yes.
You do want a stylus. So new report claims that the iPhone Pro rumors are not going to happen. They're not there. It's not.
Whoa, big surprise. Woohoo. What a revelation.
I know. Nice. I'm so glad I was sitting down when you said that, Michael.
Yeah, me too. So the idea is, so we've seen those photos of the iPhone 7 Plus in two different configurations, one with the dual lens and one without. And it seems as though that was there as a fallback, that Apple was considering doing the single lens if the dual lens thing didn't pan out. And now it seems like it's going to
pan out.
Wasn't
one of the rumors also that it was maybe if they were having supply constraints?
Yeah, I remember hearing that too.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they couldn't get the volume yields on the dual sensors up high enough, then they could fall back to doing a single lens version and a dual lens version on the high end.
Yeah. And I don't know when this rumor happened, but evidently there was a rumor that it was going to be called the iPhone 7S. There was going to be an S monitor on it.
Really?
Which I hadn't heard that. I mean, I'm looking at the photo of the iPhone 7 Pro, 7 Plus, and 7, and there's a little S on the back of these.
Yeah, that's because that's the fakety fake. You need to go read Jeff's article.
All right.
Yeah.
Fakety fake.
On how to spot iPhone fakes when the leaks come out.
Where's that article?
At Mac
Observer.
It's
at Mac Observer.
Wait, tell me more. What's this website?
So if you look at those pictures, yeah. Oh, joking. I thought you wanted to know more about how to spot the fakes, because I think our listeners might like to know this. The funny thing was like people were posting, like there was the 4K images that came out.
Right.
And the problem with if you're going to leak fake 4K images is that they're 4K, just FYI if anybody's considering doing this. So when the printing on the back, you're showing that the model number is an iPhone 5 or 6, yeah, it's going to be fake.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's really easy to check a model number. Apple has
4K.
Yeah. And Apple has a KB article that lists every single model number for every single iPhone and includes a photo of each model just so you can make sure you're really looking at what you think you're looking at.
Right. And then another big dead giveaway is if it has the FCC logos on the back, those are gone now.
Right.
The FCC passed a law that allows companies, cell phone makers, to do those as digital, which Apple is doing as of the 6S, I think.
Correct.
The parts in your article, and I'm just skimming this, but it, such as like ill-fitting logos or the sloppy builds where things are loose, that sort of thing, I'm not sure that, I mean, I never looked at those issues and said, oh, it's fake. I just thought, oh, it's...
Well, something like that doesn't necessarily mean it's fake, but it can be a good indicator. And then if you have other photos in the same set that one came from that show other telltale signs, then that's a pretty good indication it's fake.
Yeah, yeah. It could just be that the part was kind of thrown in there because that was one of the
parts they
had. I
don't think Apple would even do that or accept that with...
I'm not saying it's a final build. I'm just saying some dude grabbed a bunch of parts out of a bin and threw it together.
Oh, I don't know. The thing is when you've got Alibaba selling these things, then, you know.
It's a different story. Yeah, I gotcha. Okay, I mean,
these are just all mocked up based on, you know, supposed leaked case specs. Mm-hmm. And then you can buy them all over China.
Yeah. Let's see here. And
people want clicks. Sorry, just so people know. Because then people are like, why would people do this? It's because they want attention. They want clicks. They want ad revenue.
Yeah.
Attention's nice. So iOS 10 betas. We got the fifth beta, which had some tweaks with the lock screen sound, some widget tweaks. They added the date to that. To the widget view. They released the sixth beta, which I think was just some bug fixes primarily.
And then the seventh beta.
And then the seventh beta just days after. Right? It was, I think it was 4 days.
Is that what we're on now? The beta seven?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I barely had time
to
update.
That's funny.
I've
lost track.
Somebody did a great article. I don't think they've done a seventh beta of an OS in a long time. And it might have been Jason
Snell?
Snell over at Six Colors. I can't remember. Somebody had a great chart that showed all the last couple iOS releases and the time frame for each beta that was out. And typically the sixth beta was like the longest period, and it was like usually the last beta before release.
I feel like I got
and it was relatively close to the actual release.
Right.
I think I got on the beta train a little bit too late because I have complaints about the way that things work, and I don't think they're going to change it at this point.
What are you? Is it stuff that's publicly known you can talk about?
Stuff that I don't care about, and I think it probably is publicly known on the watch. The whole like having to use the dashboard, is that what it's called? What is it, the dock? You haven't used the dock to get to now playing for one is a giant pain in the butt. Why can't they just have that as part of the little control center like they do on the phone? It would be more consistent, right?
Wait, say that again?
So you know how on the phone you swipe up and you get to control center?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then you swipe over and you get to your music controls.
Right, great.
So it's not how that works on the watch. You have to click the dock button and then hope that now playing is selected. If not, you have to scroll through all your stuff in the dock and then get to it in order to control your now playing.
Uh-oh. Oh, right. I see what you're saying.
Which is pretty irritating and inconsistent. Which is a primary complaint. The other complaint I have is that, I don't know how it works, but do developers have the ability to set a default view for the dock view? Because there are some apps that I definitely used the glance for, and the glance it served a very distinctly different purpose than the full app. Right. So like for ETA, for example, I had it set to show me like when I'm home, show me the time it's going to take to get to work. And when I'm at work, show me the time it's going to take to get home. And all I had to do was swipe up to see that. Now, because there are only two views within the actual app, it's either all of your locations that you have, or you have to select a single one, and then that's what's shown in the dock view. It's not smart now. So I'm not really sure if developers are going to have the ability to tweak it to work that, to respond to, hey, I'm in the dock or that sort of thing. But it's just, it doesn't work as well. It's kind of a bummer.
Mm. Huh. Yeah. I just realized I have never tried to take a screenshot in watchOS 3 beta. What's the button combination to make that happen?
I think you have to turn it on. It's probably off.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
It's not press both buttons at the same time like it was.
I think it didn't still work. I'm guessing that it still is. I think they just turned it off.
Because of the beta, they don't want people taking screenshots.
No, because people accidentally take screenshots and they made it an option. Oh. Yeah, so in it, if you go to My Watch, so the My Watch tab in your app, and then General, you have to toggle on Enable Screenshots.
Oh, all right. I can
That's
do that.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's acceptable.
That is acceptable. I'm a fan of those sorts of options. Yeah, so that's my complaint about the watch. Otherwise,
I don't know. I'm totally excited about this release of the OS. iOS 10 and watchOS are both dramatically improved, in my opinion.
Yeah, overall. Yeah.
The music app has really been bugging me in the new iOS.
I'm getting used to it. I like the design a lot better.
Is Lyrics working for either of you?
Yes.
Yeah, I got Lyrics to work yesterday.
All right, I'll try it again after the show.
It's doing those things where it loses its place, or if it loses signal, it just completely nukes whatever you're listening to, which is something that was an issue like 2 years ago, and now it's an issue again, and it's really irritating.
There's going to be little annoying bugs.
I'm going to get that way down the list. I hope
right?
that it's, I mean, that doesn't seem like it's way down the list. It's really irritating, especially if you're listening to like a Beats One show and you're, you know, three quarters of the way through or, you know, some, you don't remember where you are and you're listening to it and you leave the car and you go and you get groceries and you come back in and then suddenly it's playing like whatever the top of your song list again. And you're like, I was in the middle of this awesome mix by Major Lazer or something. And now it's stopped and it's playing the frickin' Bare Naked Ladies.
That would be kind of a shock.
It again, is
annoying, but you know how it is. We've been developers. You have your bug list and you have the like, oh my God, we can't ship this bugs. And then you have the ones that are like, okay, that's really annoying.
Oh, but... and you can't. So I should be writing these things down and submitting them to Apple for feedback.
Yes.
You also can't get, to the artist in the music. So if you're listening to, like, I have the Strokes up right now. I'm listening to some, you can click on a giant link, which is nice. It'll take you to the actual album.
But are you talking from the Now Playing screen? Or
yes, from the Now Playing screen. You can tap on it, and it's really nice. It takes you right to the album, but there's no way to get to the artist. There's a little link for the artist, but it doesn't take you there.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah. So, yeah. There's all that. Let's move on. Johnny Ives' design team said no to Apple Watch bands with sensors when they were developing the watch, according to an article in which Fast Company interviewed former Apple employee Bob Messerschmidt. He said that they wanted to put some sensors in the bands, stating that it would be more accurate if they were to do that. And Johnny Ive's team basically said, no, that's going to screw up our whole fashion sense thing that we're definitely going to be doing with the watch. And it's very clear that they were planning that. And as we've seen, many, many bands have come out. It would be pretty difficult. I mean, you would lose the functionality once you change your band, or it would be very expensive to get bands.
Yeah, well, if they had put the sensors in the bands, you would not have the option to remove yours.
You're probably right. You got to wonder, though, if that diagnostic port, if there was ever a time when they thought that they were going to be doing sensors in the bands with that diagnostic port.
You know, I think that was never in the plan.
No.
I'm pretty sure that diagnostic port was there always to be a diagnostic port.
That's fair. And it'll probably, the next one will probably have the diagnostic port as well, because how are you gonna flash it when stuff goes wrong?
Right.
Yeah. So what else do we have here? Oh, we forgot the, I think we skipped over some of these rumors here. 256 gig storage rumor.
Yep.
The next iPhone. According to Digitimes, they're thinking we're going to have a 256 gig option. So it'd be, 32, 128.
128 and 256.
We're not sure if it's going to be just for the Plus or for all models, but, you know, it's progress. It's looking...
My guess is that they will keep the memory consistent across all their models. So the 7 and 7 Plus will be 32, 128, 256.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Yeah, giving us 16 gig iPhones, that's just wrong.
Well, I was
again,
just,
it was never for the consumer.
That's
true. It
was
all about the enterprise.
Yes, that's absolutely true. I'm totally with you on that.
I was just thinking today,
nonetheless, on principle,
how crazy is it that we now have we will have 256 gigabytes? I mean, 128 still. That's a heck of a lot of memory.
We were talking about that. I mean,
in a phone.
It's going to be a tough call when making that purchase because I don't think I need 256 today. But, you know, I don't know with the new camera system, with the new... You tend to fill up as much as you have, although I was looking at my iPhone and I have about 50 gigs free on my 128.
Yeah.
You know, so like, do mm-hmm. I really need 256 or is 128 fine?
I would probably stick, personally, I'm probably going to stick with the 128. I have 76 gigs free.
But knowing every time that I've gone with the lower storage size one and then hit the ceiling in the past, mm-hmm. it's just like, that's when I switched and said, I'm always going to get the largest one. And that's why I have the one that I have now. And so the question becomes, even though I'm not using it, like, have we reached that tipping point or am I going to fool myself and get the 128 and then be pissed 9 months from now when it's like full?
That's a hard call because
that's what's happened every other time until this model.
And who knows how you'll be using your iPhone in 8 months. Mm-hmm. I mean, there may be some new app you're using that just chews through storage.
Yeah, I think you really have to analyze this time around. You know, to our listeners who are thinking about this, is like really look at what are you storing. The question too will be, especially if you're getting the Plus model, does the dual lens system, is that going to double? Like, is it taking and storing images from both lenses? So
yeah, who knows? You know. I feel like probably not, but we don't know.
Yeah, I think the rumor was that it takes two photos and then it sort of merges them together and does some fancy stuff in software. You know, and who knows if it's keeping any extra data. So I don't know. It seems like 128 is fine. 256 in an iPhone seems like almost too much.
It's a lot.
Unless you're the type of person that wants to store your entire media library, you know, locally rather than dealing with Apple Music or iTunes in the cloud or any of that sort of thing.
Yeah. And so we did forget to mention I know you brought it up, Adam, but the camera module for the iPhone 7, the non-Plus version, it appears as though it's finally going to have optical image stabilization.
Cool.
Which is...
That'll be really nice.
Very nice. Yeah. I think that's why you purchased the Plus, right, Adam?
No, I purchased the Plus because it was a new size form factor and I wanted to try it out and give it an honest try to see, you know, because prior to that model coming out, that was the big complaint was like, oh, Android has, you know, 5.5, 5.7, 5.8 inch phones and this is what everybody wants and this is the future. And I had always maintained on my show that I thought it was stupid and no one needs a phone that big. But I wanted to do the experiment and give it the benefit of the doubt and try it. And I tried it for a year and it sucked. I hated it.
Yeah, I think it's way too big.
Yep. And so it only proved my own personal theory. And I know that, again, that's just for me. You kind of have
that's
to
all that really
if
matters,
you're a large
Adam.
If you're a large phone person or a not large phone person. And what I learned about myself is I'm definitely not a large phone person. Although, again, Apple's putting me in a dilemma because depending upon what they show with this dual lens module,
you're going to have to go back.
Well, because I do like photos. I like taking photos with my phone. And so, you know, the optical image stabilization to your earlier question was a bonus. It wasn't the main reason why I went with a larger phone, but it was like another factor that went, oh, okay, I want to try this. I want to try this too.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure that OSI made that big a difference to me. And I'm pretty shaky. Like, I'm not very stable with, you know.
Well, I think it's probably better for lower light situations.
Yeah.
And low light,
and they're going to have a bigger sensor. They're going to have a bigger sensor, too, which should also help mm-hmm. in that arena. I mean, a bigger lens, right? So,
bigger lens in general or just for the dual?
I think all the leaked rumors are showing a bigger lens for the single lens, which may be related to the OSI thing. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like the cutout seems to be a larger cutout. So, which would mean better lens, probably better sensors. It's probably going to handle low light a lot better. So I'm kind of excited about that, but again, depending upon what Apple shows with the dual lens system, I may be very interested in that, especially if it does like adaptive focus, you know, where you can sort of focus images after the fact and those sorts of things. So
they're going to have to put something really compelling into the Plus model before I would seriously consider getting it.
For me too, but
it's just so big.
Yeah, I hate that size. And the other problem is within my family, no one else wants a phone that big, so then I lose the hand-me-down factor when I upgrade, which isn't as bad because I can, you know, I can resell the thing and cover the cost of a new phone, but it means somebody down the line is out of a newer model phone for that year.
Maybe your family should stop being so picky about hand-me-downs.
Yeah.
I know, that's so easy for me to say because I don't have to live with that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm excited about OSI on the 4.7. I wish they would do the dual lens on every model. That
would be pretty cool.
Can't always have what we want.
Yeah. Listen to us, Apple. Let's see here. Apple Watch 2, according to looks like Bloomberg, will have GPS for improved navigation, and of course fitness tracking, but it will not have a cellular radio because they haven't been able to crack that.
Yeah.
They need
GPS and barometer. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. They need to fix the tracking because that's a huge deficit, for people. I know that. They also need to kind of fix the accuracy a little bit more of the heart rate sensor, I think, right? Not another complaint.
You know, I'm not having any complaints myself about the heart rate sensor. It's been fantastic for me. And actually the fact that for me it's been so accurate was a huge bonus earlier this year when I had an allergic reaction.
I
got dairy in me and didn't realize it, and once I started going into anaphylactic shock, I got really stupid and I had no idea that I was having a problem, but my Apple Watch made it very clear. Well, no, I don't need an Apple Watch to make it clear that I can be stupid, but it made it very clear that I was having a serious medical issue.
Oh yeah.
And it was thanks to the accuracy of the heart rate monitor.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Back to the GPS thing though. Something I never understood is why does the watch not, when you're running or doing activity and you have your phone on you, why is it still only using the sort of calibrated step and distance figures? Why isn't it like double checking that data against the GPS data in the phone and sort of matching everything up and going, oh, okay, well, the data from the watch is off by a factor of X. Let's do an average or an adjustment.
I'm pretty sure they do.
I've been told that they don't by people who rely on Apple Watch for tracking the distance of their workouts, and they say it's totally crap.
Well, the watch says, hey, for better calibration to calibrate your watch, bring your phone with you.
Right. No, but I'm not talking about people who are running or doing activity without their phone. I'm talking about people who have their phone on them all the time when they're doing their workouts.
Yeah.
And the health data from the watch is still what is used when they go into a workout on the watch and say start a workout.
I was under the impression that it was always
using track is like off by, you know, half a mile when they're done with their run or a mile.
I have not had that issue. It's certainly not a half a mile or a mile.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
just a complaint that I've heard from some people.
It may be just a bug. It may be a bug.
Well, anyway, the GPS is going to fix that, right?
Definitely will. Let's see here. Apple planning, according to, I believe this is Ming-Chi Kuo, Apple planning a 10.5-inch iPad Pro in 2017. The iPad, the 9.7-inch, is going to be the lower tier, and the mini is going to go bye-bye.
No, Apple, no.
I don't think it's going to happen.
What's the problem with that?
it's like performance all over again. Let's like have minute differences in models and confuse consumers so they can't figure out what they're supposed to buy. Why do we need a 10.5? It's not that much different than a 9.5. And then we had a 12. Like,
no, it's not even a 9.5. It's 9.7. Right. So it's,
yeah,
it's even less. It just seems stupid. I mean, if they want to do a 10.5 and dump the 9.7, I guess, but
that 9.7, that's like a sweet size.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, for all the reasons that was the size that they landed on originally. I mean, Steve Jobs talked about that in the keynote, you know, is like, why did we pick this size?
Yeah.
Right? Didn't they have a whole conversation during the keynote about why 9.7?
Definitely. They definitely did.
And I think all those reasons still stand up. So unless this is just to address the people that want a bigger iPad, but the 12.9 is too big.
Yeah, so it needs to be 8/10 of an inch bigger.
Yeah,
9.7. It doesn't make sense.
Like a stupid move. I mean, especially considering that iPad sales are not. This is not going to juice iPad sales.
No. Well, no. Maybe it's just something that they're considering.
And do more damage, in my opinion.
He's an investor guy, right? He's not a pipeline necessarily guy.
He's an investor guy. He's an investment analyst that does have a track record of being able to find the right people in the parts supply chain, and then being able to interpret the information they are giving him in a fairly accurate way. This time, however, I'm just not buying it. I could see where Apple might be experimenting with other screen sizes. Just, you know, because you try things out and see what works and what doesn't. But I don't see Apple working on a 10-inch iPad that's actually going to be a real production model.
Yeah. It just seems weird. I mean, that rumor this week seemed weird to me. It seemed odd. I mean, I won't put it past Apple doing it, but it seems like a bad move given the tablet iPad environment.
Fair. I agree.
I'm with you, Adam.
Apple Car. We have one rumor where Apple is partnering with a South Korean company to develop hollow batteries. And this is from Korean site ET News. And Mac Rumors actually went and potentially found the patent for this thing. So the idea is that in batteries, and we're talking about basically the AA cell size. And that's, I believe, what Tesla is currently using, and I would guess a lot of the other companies, because they're, you know, flexible. You can stack a whole bunch of them together, and in this case, they would be hollow because most of the heat is generated from the center of the battery. So making them hollow improves cooling, and allegedly makes it easier to link things in parallel, that sort of thing. And there are some interesting details to this patent.
This means they're like long cylinders?
Yeah, I mean, they're cylinders like double A's, except they're hollow double A's. So there's a little
so it looks like a little pipe.
Yeah. Well, a very thick-walled pipe.
Right, yeah, sure.
Sure.
So, I mean, I'm sure it would be nice if they didn't have to do liquid cooling in that. That's what Tesla does.
Do they pump water down the middle of them? There's hollow batteries?
I don't know. But I'm sure, liquid cooling makes things always more difficult. Because, you know, there's a liquid there instead of just a fan. Apple will probably make it so it's convection only. Because it's silent.
Well,
and no one can hear it anyway.
The problem with pumping liquid or anything else, if you're using a motor, I mean, even if it's air cooled like a fan, I mean, always that problem is there's a part that can break, and if you don't know that it breaks, then you could have failures.
I mean, right. You can sense that, but you can also
right.
I mean
motors, your sensor fails, or I mean, there's just points you're adding points of failure. Whereas,
of
you know, a Mac that is convection cooled without a fan, and it's naturally designed to just use, you know, the air that's already there. Is a better design.
Absolutely.
It's simpler. There's less things to break.
I 100% agree. It's a very good point. And although I got to wonder what the failure rates are between, you know, like a brushless fan versus like a fan.
Water pump?
Yeah, like a water pump. One that uses the actual coolant as the lubricant.
Right.
You know, those things can last forever. Like they use those sorts of coolant loops. For example, I went to the... what was it? The heat rejection lab at JPL to learn about how they cool Curiosity. And, and they have pumps that they say, I mean, it's not just for Curiosity, but they have other spacecraft like the Europa spacecraft and other that they have active pumps that are constantly running. And they are intending to run these things for 20, 30 years, always running 24/7. And they don't expect them to break because it's that reliable. So the tech is there. You know, we are going through down a rabbit hole, though.
No, I mean, yeah, but no.
Yeah, but it's also, yeah, it's a relevant rabbit hole.
Yeah. So they could do the active cooling. We're talking about a product that doesn't exist and probably won't exist for a long time. But Apple's clearly still working on it with Bob Mansfield, which is cool.
Well, and they better get moving.
Like, I mean, cars. Yeah, the
Uber
Model 3
this week putting self-driving cars on the road in Philadelphia.
That is banana cakes. I haven't read that article, but I saw it.
Pittsburgh, this month, Philadelphia.
Rather. Oh, sorry, Pittsburgh in Pennsylvania.
I was expecting them to do that in like Austin.
Oh, that
there's
could
something
come too.
About. There's something about Pittsburgh, the laws in Pittsburgh, right, Jeff, okay. I think, that is allowing them to do it?
Yes. They can do it, and they can let the cars drive themselves, but they have to have someone sitting behind the wheel.
Yeah, I was curious about that. So they're going to have some...
Two people, actually, I think, two kind of researcher people.
Yes. Well, they only have to have one, according to the law, I believe, but they're having two people in the front seat. So one engineer sits behind the wheel, ready to take over if they need to have some sort of human intervention, and or if the car says, I can't drive this, you do it, which is apparently happening on a lot of the bridges. And then the other engineer is monitoring all the systems. And so, yeah, they have two people in the front seat.
That's cool. I like that. I would totally get in that car.
And the riders aren't allowed to talk to the drivers, I don't think.
Right. And your ride is free.
Oh, okay. Bring that here. I'll take
but
it.
But you won't know, right, when you order the Uber?
Right. You order your Uber, and whatever shows up, shows up.
And
if it's a human driver, you pay. If it's the one of the Volvo XC90 autonomous cars, your ride is free.
My my buddy has gotten so fed up with Ubers that are Priuses that he orders an Uber, and if... When he orders it, it says, hey, it's going to be a Prius. He cancels it and then reorders an Uber a couple minutes later to not get a Prius. And I think he maybe has he's done that many times, so many times that he's just gotten fed up with it. And he's moved to the more expensive tier because he'd rather have a town car. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you need to look at what the pricing is for every ride, because in many cases, UberX can be cheaper than the standard Uber.
I thought UberX was the cheap one. Yeah, Uber Black.
Yeah, Uber Black.
I might have said UberX earlier, and I meant Uber Black.
Yep. Okay, cool. I like that. Self-driving cars.
Sweet.
Yep.
But Apple's got to hurry up. I mean, the point to me saying that is, you know, I still think what Apple is planning is a car service, an autonomous car service. I don't think they're going to sell a commercial car to people, at least not right away.
It would be much easier for them to manage their production if that's the route they went.
Yeah. And so, I mean, here is Uber already like getting cars on the road, and Apple's supposedly not going to have anything till at least 2020, 2021.
Well, and you know, Tesla's vision is, well, first of all, there's going to be the Model 3 is coming out supposedly by the end of 2017. That's definitely going to have autonomy, but Tesla's longer term vision, the part two, is the ability to let owners farm out their car while they're at work, or something. So they can say, hey, you know, I'm going to be here for the next 8 hours. My car can go make money for me as a autonomous Uber-like vehicle.
Interesting. I don't know if I'd be comfortable with that if I owned a Tesla.
I wouldn't be either. But, you know,
I don't think I'd be comfortable.
Opinions are flexible, and in a couple of years, who knows?
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, I think a lot of people are missing that that Uber is way ahead of everyone else in the autonomous car market. I mean, Google has their autonomous vehicles that are still in very much a testing phase, never go over 25 miles an hour. Tesla doesn't have a truly autonomous car yet. They're, you know, they're talking about it, but right now what they have is more like a really cool cruise control system. Right. Apple isn't even there yet, and now Uber bought Auto, so they own the company that was already road testing a system for autonomous trucks. So Uber wants to be the company that autonomously drives people around and to be the company that you go to when you need to move freight around too.
Yeah. It's going to get really interesting. I mean, the thing about Apple is you also have to recognize, though, that they are never the first. So Uber is going to be doing a bunch of stuff in public for the next 6 years, whereas Apple is going to be doing it, or 5 to 6 years, where Apple is going to be doing it totally in private. And chances are, once you get to the end, you're going to have to see who has the more consumer-friendly system that's on the road. And I have a feeling that Apple could pull off, like they have always done, you know, it's like, oh, okay, Uber has a system and it's okay. Here comes Apple's. Oh, this is the one that everybody wants to use and everybody's going to start copying. I mean, just like they did with the MP3 player, just like they did with the smartphone. I mean, Apple has that history of, we had smartphones, lots of smartphones before the iPhone, but they weren't ones that really anybody was super excited about. And then the iPhone changed everything. So, you know, it could be the classic Apple modus operandi where, yeah, everybody's like, oh, Apple's late to the game. They're not going to, you know, they're getting crushed. And then Apple produces a system that's like, oh, this is how this is supposed to be, not what we thought, you know, Uber was doing. That now that looks silly. Like, why would you use that and not use what Apple has just released? So
right, and then Uber has to scramble to match what Apple's doing.
Right. Yep. So anyway, it's going to be interesting, but it's happening a lot faster than I thought it was going to happen.
Yeah, it's crazy how fast this whole thing's going.
I'm excited. I'm so ready to not have to drive through LA traffic.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just going to sit there.
The idea of pushing a button on my Apple Watch and having a car show up and take me somewhere and I get out and do whatever I need to do and then repeat the process sounds awesome to me.
I wonder what that's going to do to parking.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you can you can have your car drive you to whatever exact location you need to go to, and then you say, hey, car, go find parking over here. And then it's going to go park itself in a free spot.
No, you're not even going to need that again, because what you're going to do is you're going to buy, rather than buying a car, you just buy a service that is a car.
Yeah,
when I do that. And where you need it.
I like having a car, but we'll see.
Again, if your car always shows up on demand in a reasonable amount of time, why would you need a car? Why would you want to deal with parking at all?
True.
Yeah, if I could have the same convenience with a car service that I get from having my own car, even though my car sits parked almost every single day, undriven.
Right.
And you don't pay for gas
and you don't pay for insurance. You know, it's rolled up in your service. Yes, you're paying for it, but not directly. I mean, it changes the whole thing. I mean, if you start going down this rabbit hole, think about city, you know, like parking tickets. Think about, I mean, there's going to be major pushback on a lot of this stuff from a lot of places, from companies that own parking garages and parking lots, from cities who rely on that revenue for, you know, I mean, think about traffic tickets and all that other revenue as we move into autonomous cars.
Well, that revenue can be offset by licensing fees, yeah, and by revenue generated in taxes through paying for the services.
But cities and governments aren't thinking about this stuff right now, and they really need to be. I mean, yeah, this is going to be a rabbit hole we're going to go down if we start down this path. So we probably shouldn't, but you get the idea.
Yeah. All right, so let's wrap this sucker up. Let's do our picks. Jeff, you go first.
All right, so my pick today, it's a physical product, and it's called Flow, and that's spelled F-L-O. And it's a digital thermometer from a company called Zeraph. And so their website is zerap.co. And it's a digital thermometer for taking your body temperature reading, and but it also has a mode where you can get the temperature of other things. Ooh. And it's contactless, and it links up to an app on your iPhone, and but you don't have to use it with an iPhone if you don't want. So if you just need to get a quick reading on someone's temperature, it'll let you do that. You just hold it like right above the bridge of their nose, hit the button, and then you have an idea if they're running a temperature or not. The limitation is that it gives you a colored light as opposed to an actual number to tell you what the temperature is on the device. So if it's kind of whitish, your temperature's too low. If it's I don't know what the other colors are. It's like, if it's green, I think it's your temperature is in the safe range, and if it's red, then you're running a fever. But if it's linked up to your iPhone, you can have profiles for different people, and you can see their actual temperature, and you can keep track of temperature readings over time, and it's pretty slick. So it's kind of limited in what it does, but it's only $40. And the one trick pony thing that it does, it actually does really well.
Nice.
Yeah. And having an iPhone app so that it can link up and keep track of temperature readings if you need it to. Okay, great. And $40. It's a nice little easy to use digital thermometer.
Yeah. Looks cool. I like it.
So in the iPhone app, will it show you the actual temperature reading?
Yes, it will.
Okay.
What it does is it gives you this graphic that looks sort of like a thermometer, right, and then shows a little arrow pointing to where your temperature is on that thermometer, and then gives you the actual number to go along with it. So, yeah, you'll get an exact reading.
Nice.
You can also point it at objects, apparently.
Yes, you can point it at objects. So the example that
I want to know how hot my coffee is at Starbucks. Hey.
Yeah, you can check your coffee at Starbucks. The example they give, of course, is checking a baby bottle to make sure that the milk or the formula, the bourbon, whatever it is, right, that you give your baby in a bottle, is at the right temperature.
Jeff, you give your baby bourbon.
If I had a baby,
yes.
Yeah, because I'm not going to give it cheap booze. It's going to get good quality stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Adam, what's your pick?
My pick is an app that is currently free from the people over at MyScript called Nebo. I think it's Nebo, N-E-B-O. So myscript.com/NEBO. If you want to check out the website, or just get it on the App Store right now because it's free. And it is a note-taking app specifically designed for iPad Pro. You have to have an Apple Pencil to use this app. But it is basically you can do handwritten notes, and it will convert that directly to text. Not only that, though, there are different gestures and things that you can do to do formatting. So if you draw a square box around your text, it will highlight it. If you double underline it, you get a heading, those sorts of things. And in addition, it also has support for doing hand-drawn diagrams. And you can move the elements of those diagrams around. And if you have arrows going to those things, they'll stay anchored. You can do math formulas. You can do sketches. And you can do all of this in a single note, right? So you can mix and match. You can take notes. You can do bullet points. You can do different kinds of bullet points. And then not only that, even if you you can double tap and then convert all of that from handwriting directly to text, and it's highly accurate. And then you can come back in and you can re-edit that text. So if you double tap it again, it won't convert it back to your handwriting, but you can continue to add or you can scribble out things on your text. So it's basically being able to completely take text notes by hand, but then also have those notes still be editable by hand, if that makes sense. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit tricky to wrap your head around, but I was playing with it this morning and it's really kind of incredibly accurate. And you can turn on a feature where as you're writing, it will actually be doing the conversion. And if it gets something wrong, you can simply tap on the word that it got wrong and it will give you other suggestions for the correct word. But, you know, I was playing with my handwriting, which isn't all that great, and it was incredibly accurate. And it's free right now. So
nice.
Yeah. It is called Nebo, N-E-B-O, and you can find it on the App Store.
This is really
pretty
cool.
Amazing technology. And the underlying technology, I think my script is called Ink. I think it's I-I-N-K. It's looking like it's a platform that they're probably going to make available to other apps. But you can do lists and headings and highlighting, and it's pretty incredible. The only thing I couldn't figure out, and I'm not sure if it has this or not, is indenting. So if you're taking notes, I couldn't find a way to do indenting. Oh, and then on top of it, you can export everything to HTML or text if you want.
Cool.
So pretty cool. But again, iPad Pro and Apple only, or Pencil only.
Yeah, I just downloaded it, and it promptly said, you need to write in this box to prove to us you have an Apple Pencil.
Yeah.
Which was smart on their part to avoid bad reviews.
And so I wrote, and then it was like, okay, you can use the app.
Yeah, cool. But it looks pretty cool. And I've been looking. I mean, I had their other app, which I can't remember was called like Scribble or something like that, for doing handwriting. And my script has been working on this for a long time. I mean, and the other thing is like I said, it does math formulas. So they had the MyScript math app for a long time, which you could write a math formula and it would solve the equation for you. That's built into this as well.
Nice.
Yeah. So you can do all of this stuff in a single app.
Cool. All right. So my pick this week is the Jaybird Bluebuds X or the X2, honestly, because so what happened is I've picked these before.
Yeah.
But I lost my headphones. I lost them. It was a sad day. I don't know what happened.
That is sad.
Just, you know, I was doing my thing and suddenly I realized I didn't have them. And I hope whoever has them now is enjoying them. I hope they're not in a gutter being destroyed and not used. At the very least, it would make me happier if someone was enjoying them. That said, I needed to... Well, I used my Plantronics Backbeats, I think that it is. Let me see. Plantronics Backbeat Go. I have those as well, which are pretty nice. I still recommend those. Get the Plantronics Backbeat Go. They don't have as much battery life. The fit isn't as good, they don't sound as good, but they're about half the price. However, if you want like the best in-ear headphones, I totally recommend the Jaybird, either the Bluebuds X or the X2. They're almost identical. So I actually lucked out and got a cheap pair of Bluebuds X from a friend who didn't like the idea of wireless headphones in general. Joke's on him, next iPhone. But that said, I've used both, and they're both very good, and you can get deals on them on Amazon and Walmart.com and that sort of thing. So shop around, get either. They're great. They have spoken feedback to you, so you don't have beeps and boops that don't make any sense to you. 8 hours of battery life, which is like the sweet spot. They stay in your ears very well. That was my biggest complaint with my Plantronics, is they just don't fit as well. The X and the X2, they're super comfy. They've got those little squishy things that support them being in your ear, in addition to just being in your headphones. The one thing that I haven't done yet is use the little the cable tie, the cable arrangement thing that makes it tight around the back of your head, that kind of cleans everything up. I had a guy come up to me and say, "Hey, you know, I've got those headphones too. You should try using that because it makes it a lot nicer." And I haven't done that yet. Have you guys done that with yours? You know, the little clip deal?
I haven't used that.
I've seen some people using it, and it makes it much neater, much cleaner. I feel like I should give that a try.
Yeah, it's, the reason I've never tried it is because it seemed like I was going to end up not having enough cord to go between my ears, which is stupid because of course I'm going to have enough cord between my ears.
Yeah, I'll have to try it. But yeah, regardless, these things are awesome. I haven't used a better pair of headphones, wireless headphones, I should say. Even the Beats. The only thing the Beats had over these is that the little hook over the ear makes it ever so slightly more stable, but these are pretty darn stable. These sound great. They're probably like half the price, better battery life, and you get the voice feedback. You got to have voice feedback in your wireless
headphones.
I don't
know if they sell the X anymore, by the way.
You can find them. I mean, Jaybird doesn't sell them.
Right.
But you can get them. I saw on Walmart.com, I think they were $80.
Cool.
For the X, Amazon, I'm sure you can get it from some of the sellers. So yeah, if you can, you know, get a deal on the previous model, go for that. I haven't tried the Freedoms yet, but I wouldn't take the reduction in battery life. 8 hours is just enough, in my opinion. So with that, you can find our picks in the show notes at theiosshow.com. I think my favorite way of getting feedback from people is through the comments on the individual posts. We know what it's in regards to, and everybody else can see it, and I can reply to it, and other people can reply to it. So we've got a discuss thing going on for every show. So check that out, theiosshow.com. Review the show in iTunes. Rate the show with some stars. And, of course, you can email us. feedback@theiosshow.com. Advertising is handled by backbeatmedia@backbeatmedia.com. You'd think I could get that after saying it 300 times. Probably more. Adam Christensen is at the Mattcast. Mattcast.com, at Mattcast on Twitter. And is that you talking to Siri right now?
No, that was me. A website came up with a stupid autoplay.
Ew, gross.
Video, yeah.
I saw your box. I saw where you live now.
You did?
That picture.
Oh, in the article?
Yeah, in the article. Yeah, I didn't know what...
San Diego did, the San Diego Voice did an article on local podcasting here in San Diego, so that was out there.
Cool. Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
That is cool. I didn't know that... I feel like podcasting is still like on the uptick, which is weird because it's been around forever. It's just a slow grower.
It really hasn't, though. I mean, that's the thing, is like, I think people forget. You have to go back and historically look at any new form of media like radio or television and look at how long it really took before it became an industry and sort of became mainstream. And 10 years is still really pretty early in the cycle.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. I mean, it's right there at the edge, I think. But yeah. And that's why I think we're kind of seeing growth and change.
Gotcha. You know,
again, going back to the earlier conversation about, you know, what's on Netflix and what's not on Netflix these days, you know, I think mainstream media, television and radio are realizing, okay, we can't laugh off these other threats anymore. Like, this is really a thing.
Yep.
But it takes them kind of that long to get out of the arrogance factor of, oh, we can't be touched.
Because you can be touched.
Yeah.
By Adam Christensen.
And if anyone's going to touch you, you want it to be Adam.
Yep.
God. And let's not go down this path. Move on.
I think it's kind of too late.
Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. TMO Daily Observations podcast every weekday. Check that out. And he's at jgamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome to be here.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. You can find me there when I toot my stuff. And with that, we'll see you next time on The iOS Show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
The stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No.
Yuck.
No.
Yuck, yuck.
No. Who wants a stylus? We have to get them and put them away.